It's the Madman DVD review with Maria Walls.
Maria, what about tiny little stories about tiny little weenie people at all? No?
Well, I don't know. I'm probably more into the Polly Pocket scenarios. I think they're more interesting. Can you hear me?
Just let me start that. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah. Good.
It depends. I guess it depends how you Polly Pocket, whether you.
Well,
combine it with a Lolly Pocket and a Jolly Pocket.
Oh dear.
Oh dear, you brought it up.
I did. We're full of the joys of spring and honest naivete. Oh, how about I play the trailer, shall I?
The trailer sounds great.
This is a story about courageous underdogs, the first English-speaking team to compete in the Tour de France. I don't know why people want to take on these challenges, but I really believe that it's only by pushing yourself to the borders of suffering and discomfort that you really find out who you are. This is an insane idea, but what about if you actually go back and you retrace every mile?
Now you know that voice, don't you, Mike?
That is the unforgettable voice of Phil Hotstuff Coogan. Keegan? How do I say it, Maria?
Well, it's Keegan, but given the fact that he kind of has this hybrid accent, I think maybe you could take a variation on Keegan.
Because he is, of course, a New Zealander. He used to be a TV presenter here in New Zealand, and then he's most well known for the greatest race, isn't it?
It was the amazing race.
Amazing. He's obviously not that well known for the Coogan, is it?
Coogan.
Yes.
Kogan,
get your Kogan.
Our news and editorial director has schooled us. It's Kogan.
Phil Kogan. But you're right, though. It is a made-up accent. I understand that people can, that some people can adopt an accent, once they've lived somewhere for a wee while. Others can't drop their accent, can they, Rob?
No. Wouldn't want to.
But once you get past the amazing race and his barefaced enthusiasm for that show, and which he made and has won awards for, and you can't knock him for that. Good on him. What's this all about? This, it sounds like he's talking about cycling, the Tour de France.
Indeed.
What's the DVD we're talking about, Maria? What is it called?
It's called Le Ride, and it's nothing to do with pockets. It's just about bikes and France.
Can you say? Can I get Rob just to say the name of the city? Because I love it when English. I love it when good strong English accents say things in French.
Le what? I can't read it. Le ride.
Le ride.
Beautiful.
Very nice of you, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And what's it about? Cycling.
It's about cycling. It's about the original Tour de France and. And Phil Kogan and his Kiwi mate Ben decide to go and recreate the original Tour de France, where they used heavy bikes without proper brakes and without gears and things like that. And it was really grueling.
It's pretty grueling now with all the fancy bikes that weigh less than bikes.
That's right, and and all the drugs, but they don't seem to take any drugs during the film. But they certainly use the old bikes. And they're quite bumpy, and they're made out of metal when they go across, the Pyrenees, and we see a lot of France, and it's like a travelogue with, of course, Phil Kogan's narration throughout. You might be interested that Phil Kogan actually started on Spot On,
yep,
and then he moved on to 3:45 Live, and he did That's Fairly Interesting as a reporter. As
TFI,
well.
I used to love that logo for Spot On. That was a good logo.
It was a great logo, wasn't it?
Yep, Spot On was a good show, so it was Top Half. But we digress, because we're talking France. We're talking one of the most prestigious cycling races in the world.
What was it about the 1928 Tour de France that he wanted to reenact? Why that one?
Rickety bikes, surely.
Well, there were, I think, and forgive my inaccuracy on the statistics, but a ballpark figure of about 160 riders started. And only about 60 finished. Ooh. Because it was so tough. You know, people fell over the sides of cliffs and caused themselves massive injury and exhaustion.
I steer away from too much physical activity, but I have had dreams in the past of one of my worst nightmares I've ever had in my life was coming across a big pile of cyclists in a cycling accident. Really weird.
It's they do pile up, don't they? It looks
scared the hell out of me, that dream.
It's like a deep-seated fear. Well, that would have been entirely possible. In fact, it's probably still...
It is. I mean, once if someone goes down, then it's and they get shitty about it too. It's an interesting thing to make a movie about. Though. I'm sure it's interesting to ride the old bikes and travel the old roads and see how rough and ready it was. But what makes it a good DVD?
Well, I'm not entirely sure it is a good DVD, but it's certainly a good ride. And if you're into cycling or France, then, you know, if you're a Francophile, it's all appeal. It's Phil Cogan. If you're into Phil Cogan and you love The Amazing Race and all of his narration with that interesting accent, then, you know, the ride is for you. it's certainly quite well shot. It's got a really warm hue, you know, and the colour grading, and you get to see a lot of France. And there are some funny-ish moments. It's really very much like a travelogue or, you know, he could have made it just wearing, like, a GoPro on his head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, like so often, so the modern way, you mean?
Yeah, the modern way.
There's a lot of people wear GoPros on the head just go from A to B nowadays.
In fact, you know, I'm usually wearing one.
Go ahead.
Not at all. There's just lots of, you know, like lots of YouTube footage of people doing this, and his film is kind of like a more expensive version, from my perspective. When Phil Cogan was on Spot On, I'm just giving you some background here.
He
dived down into the shipwreck of the Mikhail Lermontov, which is that sunken ship, I think, somewhere in the Cook Strait, and he got stuck. And he was rescued, and he had this kind of...
and he came back up, called. Came back, he got rescued and had that accent.
Maybe that explains it.
Is that what did it? Was that the catalyst? Is that why he's always putting himself in idiotic circumstances?
He had a near-death experience, supposedly, and he has this thing called no opportunity wasted, which is why he goes forward and tries to activate all of these kind of... you know, dreams about his bucket list.
You can't knock that, man. I tell you, I've ridden a rickety bike in my time. I've ridden a penny farthing before.
Have you?
That's a pretty freaky experience. It's odd. For those people who don't know, penny farthing has a wheel that must be 2 meters high, front wheel, and a back wheel which must be about 10 centimeters high. It's a really unusual bike, but it's actually quite easy to ride for some reason.
Okay, that's curious. Did you have to
dress up? Well, I mean... was it full 1928
stuff? I like dressing up, but I didn't dress up at the time. Although, to be fair, I was surrounded by people who were dressed up.
I was riding with
an interesting crowd.
Was it in maybe Oamaru?
Yes, it was. Well done, yeah.
Well, it's good that you've wasted no opportunity and knocking that one.
No, I've lived quite a life. I haven't got caught down in a shipwreck.
It was incredible.
And had a near death experience, and then gone on to make an award winning
series of
watching people anguish and get anxious about trying to win money. However, this is a reenactment of the whole ride, is it?
It is. And, you know, that is a really fascinating setup, I must admit. I mean, you know, the idea of riding a heavy metal bike on such a gruelling track and just going through all of the... I mean, they discover, for example, that, you know, when they're trying to ride through Paris, that lots of the roads have been taken over by motorways, so they can't go the original route.
I was going to ask about that. How slavishly can he stick to the original course if it's full of, you know, infrastructure and buildings now?
Yeah, well, I mean, he just raises the point throughout. You know, they're trying to navigate their way through Paris, and you know, the maps suddenly show that that's a motorway, and they're not allowed on them with their bikes, even if they're filming, etc. It certainly shows a lot of changes in the geography.
No brakes must be pretty racy.
Yeah, and of course that causes a few spills, and it'd be quite scary. They must be incredibly fit too. I think Phil.
All right.
Well, he's almost 50, and that's quite impressive.
Oh, yeah, you have to keep fit, otherwise you lose your job over there. You don't actually. Apart, on Vice, though, you see a lot of unfit presenters. I really like that, the way that they're battling their way through there. But they but on general free to air TV over there, whoo, you've got to be shiny.
You do. That's
shiny and positive. We'll have no muttering, and also that you can't. You're not allowed to blink when you're reading the auto cue over there either.
Very toothy, toothsome.
And
shiny. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's a lovely Lisa Gibbons. It's a lovely Lisa Gibbons.
Lisa Gibbons, Telethon. Wow, she got together with that Coronation Street star, didn't she?
Yeah.
Telethon in New Zealand.
I'm not angry about that. Hey, all right, Maria. So the name of this DVD is Le Ride, and it's out now. It's out now, obviously.
I've got one to give away, actually.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thanks, Sarah.
Okay, what can we do? Give it away. How do you think we give it away?
You guys have talked about a lot of other projects that Phil Cogan's been involved in. So if you can maybe name us one that isn't The Amazing Race, what do you reckon?
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea.
Let's do that. We'll take those calls, 309-3879. Thank you very much, Maria.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
I hope that, have a great day.
See you next week.
That was the Mad Men DVD review.